יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
May the Lord give you that peace today. Amen and amen. All right. It's history lesson time. You know the date. Today is February 3rd, 2026. And it's Shavuot 16, 5786. Shavuot 16, 5786. Now, let's look at where we are. Okay, where we are. We're looking at Exodus chapter 18, verse 1 through verse 20, all right, and then on to 23. Exodus 18, 1, 20, 23. Then Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 7, all right, and then 6, 9, 5, and 6. Isaiah 6, 1 through 7, all right, 6, 9, and 6. And then here is Matthew chapters 19, 18 through 26. Matthew chapter 19, 18. All right, Matthew chapter 19, 16 through 26. Okay. We are looking at some very important portions of Scripture. Now, let's just look at where we are in the history lesson. We looked at Exodus 18:1, where Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, hears of the great miracles which God performed for the people of Israel. He comes from Midian to the Israeli camp. Notice, bringing with him Moses' wife and two sons. So Moses went back to Egypt, left the family behind with Jethro, his father-in-law in Midian. So he went to Egypt by himself. Let me tell you something. Sometimes the Lord will lead you to a place or assignment, and that assignment is just for you, nobody else. Now, Jethro advises Moses to appoint some help, some leadership, magistrates and judges, because he understood and he noticed that Moses could not do everything for 3 million people. How can you? How can one man do that? And so the magistrates and or the administrative assistants are appointed and begin to help Moses, and that takes some of the pressure off Moses about administrating things, you know, like whatever, civil matters, spiritual matters. It was all in Moses. Civil matters, you know, no, it was the magistrates. Now, the children of Israel finally come to Mount Sinai, where they are told that God has chosen them to be his kingdom and priests and a holy nation. I still believe that. There's a lot of folks, a lot of Christians don't believe that anymore, that Israel is God's chosen people. They just don't. They believe that there was a time when it was just wiped away, that they're no longer God's chosen people. The Gentile Christian population is. I believe that we were grafted in, according to Romans, and we became, as the Gentiles, we were grafted into the tree of Israel. That's the way I feel. I don't think I'll ever change. I believe that God still has chosen Israel, and I know what's going on there politically, and I know what's going on there in their Knesset and all that, and it appears that they're no longer part of God's economy, but I believe they are. I believe they are. Now, the people respond by saying, all that God has spoken, we shall do. That's the problem. That's it right there. It's right there. All that he has spoken, we shall do. And they didn't. They didn't do everything God told them to do. If they would have done everything God told them to do, they would not have been in the situation they were in. It may be even to this day. And see, that's the thing. And I said yesterday, do not make a vow to God and not pay it. Now, they've been sitting there. They've been camping there. And they've been there for about 7 weeks. This is 7 weeks after the Exodus. The entire nation of Israel assembles at the foot of Mount Sinai for the giving of the Torah, the law. And God descends on the mountain, and there's thunder and lightning and smoke and a blast of the shofar. And Moses is summoned to ascend. He's summoned to go up. He's summoned to go in the presence of the Lord. The blasting of the shofar. Now, God proclaims the Ten Commandments, commanding the people of Israel to believe in God, not to worship idols, take God's name in vain, keep the Sabbath, honor their parents, do not murder, commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, or covet another's property. And the people cry out to Moses. Why? Because the revelation is too intense for them to bear. They can't take it. They just can't take it. So they beg Moses to receive the Torah from God, or the Ten Commandments, and convey it to them because they could not take God's powerful presence. That's exactly right. They could not take God's powerful presence. Now the question is, do we invite God's powerful presence into our life, into our homes, into our families, into our church? Or we simply say, no, we don't want that glory. We don't want that power. We don't want their presence. They did. They said, no. You get it. You tell it. But we can't get it ourselves. And that's what they did. And that cost them something too. Let me tell you something. Never, ever, 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 ever push away. Push away the presence of God in your life. Ever. Never. Because that's what you want. You want the presence of God. So God came down on Sinai. Now, Sinai is not a single mountain. It's a mountain range. It's not one single mountain. It's a mountain range. So Sinai was a mountain range, not a single mountain, even though it is a single mountain, is more than that. And they said, no, not for us. We don't want that. We just want you to do it. Sounds like some modern-day Christians. Like, go ahead, Pastor, you do it. You go ahead. You tell us. For us, nah, we're not going to get involved in that. We're too busy doing something else. You get with God and you tell us what God is telling us. They missed it. And we can too. Listen for the sound of shofar.